All right, Joshua chapter 12. Joshua chapter 12. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, so thankful for your word and so thankful for your great grace in our life. And I pray now that as we study the scripture, that you would speak to our heart and speak to our life. And Lord, that we would be changed and be more like you. Lord, thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are listening. And I pray that we will not be just hearers of the word, but we would be doers as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 12. It's kind of a summary of the life of Moses and a summary of the life of Joshua. We can say it's the legacies of Moses and Joshua. What did Moses accomplish and what did Moses do? What did Joshua accomplish and what did Joshua do? As it reports their major accomplishments and the things that they did in their lives. And I think it's fitting for us on President's Day, if we could just for a moment think that it's not just about the beach or barbecue, although I hope you enjoyed this incredible day on the beach. But the truth is, it's about remembering the legacies of our president. And I think about George Washington and how this man, he led our nation to freedom. That's his legacy. Or I think about Abraham Lincoln and how he led our nation towards unity when we were so divided. You see, these presidents, we remember today their legacy because they left a legacy. And the truth is, listen, it's the title of our message, In Real Life, our series over this course of the study of Joshua, in real life, we will be leaving a legacy. We're going to be leaving a legacy. Now, what kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? What will your children say of you? What will your grandchildren say of you? Because a legacy leaves impact. I know for my son, when he was growing up and much younger, he was around 4, 5, and 6 years old. There was a legacy of one little boy that changed my son's life. Maybe you know this boy. I don't know if you do or not. His name is Mowgli. And my son, he was so enthralled with Mowgli. And he watched The Jungle Book. And this the story of this kid's life changed his life. To all of a sudden, we started noticing my son didn't want to wear clothes anymore. And he would run around the house just buck naked. In fact, when we were living in the Bahamas, he would just come downstairs and he was, 4 or 5 years old. And he would go swimming. And we called him a brown berry. He didn't have one tan line on him. He just wanted to be a Mowgli. We began to think something was wrong when, well, my daughters, they had these friends. And there were 5 daughters in this one family. And they came over one day and my son answered the door. They opened the door. All 5 girls come walking in and my son goes, "It's party time," and starts ripping off of his clothes. And I said, "Andrea, we've got to do something about this. It's a problem." Well, Mowgli so impacted the legacy of this little boy. While we were living in the Bahamas, we would spend our summers doing Patmos in Brazil. And so we were there for 3 months out of the year. And the house that we lived in, it had bars all around it. Well, we were in the middle of the jungle. We had no idea why we needed bars on our house until one morning I woke up and there was about 150 wild monkeys just deluged on our house. And when I walked out into the living room, they saw me. And now all of a sudden, they're reaching their hands in through the bars. They're putting their mouths, and you know how their lips fold back and their teeth come out? And they're like trying to, and I finally realized why we had bars on the house. It was to keep the monkeys from getting into us. Well, one night, my son Timon, Andrea got up in the middle of the night. Now remember, legacies leave impact. Andrea gets up in the middle of the night. She doesn't know why she gets up. She goes as a mom would, and she begins to check all the rooms in the house. And she comes to me and she goes, "Chet, Timon's gone." Like, "What do you mean Timon's gone?" She goes, "No, I can't find him anywhere." I go, "Andrea, look under the bed." She goes, "I looked under the bed." I go, "He made a fort in the living room. He's not in the living room." I go, "He's in the house." And so I, my wife's freaking out, and I went back to bed. She comes back, "I can't find him. Get up." And I go, "Andrea, I'm telling you, he's in the house." Then all of a sudden I started thinking, Mowgli, he went with the monkeys. So we start looking all over the place, and I notice that the kitchen door is open. Now, we're in the jungle in Brazil. I open the door. I go outside. I go out into this forested area. It's about 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, and I find my son. He has made a fire. He's 5 years old. He has made a fire. He is curled up beside the fire. I wake him up and I said, "What are you doing out here?" And he goes, "Dad, I wanted to sleep in the forest." I go, "You're 5 years old. You don't sleep in a forest." The truth of the matter is, Mowgli had impacted his life. You see, this young little boy and his legacy, it left an impact on my child's life. In fact, listen. It's just this last weekend, I flew to Fort Lauderdale to bury a very good friend of mine. And when we were at the graveside, we were at the graveside where my brother and my dad are also buried. And while I'm doing the graveside of this very good friend, he is buried catty corner to my brother and my dad. So while I'm doing the graveside, I'm looking at the tombstone of my brother and my father. And I began to think of their legacy. My brother, he was an F-18 fighter pilot. He was a Blue Angel, flew over the Super Bowl. He was pilot of the year 2 years in a row. In fact, today there is an award given to the best pilot known as the Matthew Ira Lowe Award. He has left a legacy. My father, he had a Blue Angel as a son. He had me. And he has a daughter that is in love with the Lord, who's raised two incredible children. And I began to think of the impact of the legacy of these lives. The truth is, you are going to leave a legacy. What kind of legacy will you leave? You see, I can mention all kinds of good ones, and I can mention bad ones. Think of if I say the name Richard Nixon. Oh, he was a president, but maybe the first thing that comes to your mind is Watergate or scandal, and his legacy has been tainted, and his reputation has been tarnished. That's the point. You see, making a legacy is not something that happens in our future. Making a legacy is the context of the life that you are choosing right now and today. What kind of decisions are you making? You see, when we left Brazil, my son had made a legacy. In fact, we've renamed him from Timon to Chimau. We gave him a Brazilian name because he had such impact on the Brazilians, they decided to name him a different name. This child, he was just crazy while he was there. What decisions are you making? Are they foolish or are they wise? Are you making decisions of compromise or are you making decisions that build your character? Do you choose to live by faith or are you choosing to live by fear? Basically, listen, are you purposing to be the best you that you can be, to leave a legacy that impacts tomorrow and impacts others for the glory of God? Now, I don't know if you heard that last part. Did you hear me say a legacy that impacts others for the glory of God? You see, that's the only legacy that lasts. The only legacy that lasts is one that glorifies God. I'll prove it to you. I'm going to mention a couple names born in the same year. Listen, Natalie Schaefer, Mother Teresa. Which one do you remember? Which one do you know? Well, obviously, you're going to say Mother Teresa. Some of you may know who Natalie Schaefer was. She was the most popular actress in the 30s. Listen, they were born the same year. Do you know who she was? But do you know who Mother Teresa was? Or let me give you some other names. Born in the same year. Listen, the Big Bopper or Martin Luther King Jr.? Now, those of you who are old enough, maybe you remember the Big Bopper himself, a musician. But how many of us can hold on to the godliness of Martin Luther King Jr.? You see, the evidence of the only thing that lasts is the godliness of the impact of the legacy that we want to make tomorrow. You see, I can say names like King David or Solomon. I can say the Apostle Peter, and you know exactly who these names are because their legacies stretch through straight into eternity, making impact in every generation. See, that's what a godly legacy will produce. Paul talks about this when he's speaking of Timothy. It was Timothy's grandmother that invested into Timothy's mother, that invested into Timothy. And the legacy of faith from grandmother to mom into Timothy had radical impact in Timothy's life, where he is noted as one of the great pastors of the very first church in the New Testament. Understand, a legacy, it get passed from one generation to another, where then Paul would write Timothy and tell him, what I have committed to you in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, I want you to commit to other people. Pass the legacy of faith on. And that's exactly what Moses does. In fact, it's one of Moses's greatest legacy. It's one of the things that Moses would do, not only in simply producing a legacy for himself, but a heritage and the development of a nation. Take a look. We're going to go back, if we could, just to Joshua 11, verse 15 for a moment so that you can see it. The very first point of three, the first is this, the impact of faith on making a legacy. The impact of faith in making your legacy. It's Joshua chapter 11. Look at verse 15. As the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. You see, what Moses heard from God, Moses passed on to Joshua, and Joshua did. That's the legacy of faith. It's the legacy of the impact of faith. And if we're going to make a legacy, it's the first of three points. The impact of faith in our lives will affect other generations upon generation upon generation. The impact of faith of Moses' life in listening to God and imparting that faith into Joshua would form a nation. Take a look at Moses' faith. It's Joshua chapter 12 now, verse 1. These are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel defeated, and whose land they possessed on the other side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon and all the eastern Jordan plain. One king was Sihon, king of the Amorites. Would you go down to verse 4? The other king was Og, king of Bashan. Now down to verse 6. These Moses, servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel conquered. There were two kings that he conquered. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He conquered two kings. This is Moses' legacy. Joshua is reporting it. Joshua is putting it down. The impact of Moses' faith is that he's marching into the promised land, and he defeats two kings, and he gives two and a half tribes their plot of land. I don't know about you, but for a moment, I've got to stop and think. There's a problem with this. In fact, there's a big problem with this, Moses. The impact of faith I see in Joshua's life. But Moses, what about your life? I thought there were 12 tribes, not two and a half. And I thought you were supposed to go on the other side of the Jordan, not stay on this side of the Jordan. Wait a second, Moses. Maybe I didn't read all of the impact of your faith. Something's wrong here, Moses. Yeah, you're right. Something is wrong. You see, Moses mixed his faith with fear. And he would send the 40 spies out. And they would come back. And when they would come, these 12 spies, when they would come back, only two of them would have the faith, Joshua and Caleb, to go marching into the promised land. But 10 of these spies, no, Moses, we can't go into the land. There's giants in the land. And I know it's flowing with milk and honey, but Moses, we can't go in. And all the people complained and murmured against Moses. And Moses, instead of the impact of faith, his legacy, he leaves his fear. And where he could have conquered all the kings, he conquers two. And where he could have given all the tribes his land and their land, he only gives two and a half. But you see, Joshua, Joshua would learn from this mistake. Joshua would gain from this legacy. Take a look, if you would. It's Joshua chapter 12, verse 7. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel conquered on this side of the Jordan on the west, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, as far as Mount Halak and the ascent of Seir, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions, in the mountain country, in the lowlands, in the Jordan plain, in the slopes. I almost want to sing, God bless, from the mountains, but here we go. In the wilderness and in the south, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Down to verse 9. The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won, the king of Jerusalem won, the king of Hebron won, all the way down to verse 24. The king of Tirzah won, all the kings, 31. Moses, you conquered how many? Two. Joshua, you conquered how many? 31 kings? Let me explain. God's desire for us is to not just leave a legacy. His desire for us is to leave a faithful legacy. That's why he gives us tasks that are bigger and greater than ourselves, so that God can come in as we depend on him and show the world how big and how grateful and faithful that God is. That's why Paul said, whether I live or die, my life will magnify. It will make Jesus look bigger because he's given a task to me that's greater than myself. It's the business of God to give us a task bigger than ourselves so that we leave a faithful legacy. Not that Chet did it, not that you did it, but we can say, look at what the Lord has done. That is a faithful legacy. You see, Moses, when he went into the land, he saw the giants, and these giants, to him, he got afraid. He was terrified. But when Joshua saw the giants, Joshua, with the eyes of faith, he saw it as an opportunity. You see, your faith, it's going to make an impact on the legacy that you leave. God's point is to give you tasks bigger than yourselves. What decision will you make? How big is your God and how big is your faith? It's the impact of faith in making a legacy. But point number two, listen, if you're writing notes, it's not just the impact of faith in making a legacy, it's the importance of endurance. Listen, for 40 years, Joshua would watch Moses endure the children of Israel. They murmured, they complained, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They were difficult, they were a challenge. One moment, they were worshiping God, and the next moment, they were worshiping a golden calf that they made. And Joshua watched as Moses led these difficult, challenging through these times. He would watch Moses deal with these people and pray for these people. He would watch Moses walk from one place to the other as the pillar of cloud covered them by day and the pillar of fire it led them by night. And Joshua would learn and Joshua would grow. And now Joshua is faced with his challenge. And now it's not the people. Oh, the people are ready to go and divide and conquer. But watching the legacy of Moses and the faith that he lived, oh, listen, Joshua, he would face all kinds of different challenges. You see, there were valleys to go through. There were plains to walk alongside. There were mountains to climb. There were caverns to go through. Joshua would have ups and Joshua would have downs. There were seaside to walk along in the Mediterranean coast, but there were deserts down in the Negev that he had to march through. This army, these challenges that he would face. Joshua would have to endure through each of the challenges that the geography would present him. There was no way around it. Listen, our lives are the same way. Every decision we make, we're building our legacy. And life is a challenge. There are desert moments where you feel dry. What decision will you make? Are you going to quit? You're going to compromise? Do you feel like God is not near so I can go off and do my own thing? There's going to be mountain peaks like tonight. Man, when these guys lead in worship, my spirit soars to the heavens and I lift up my hands and give glory to God. But when I leave here, I've got to go be a husband and a father. And sometimes that's a challenge. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a mountaintop. Sometimes it feels like a valley. Sometimes, oh, tomorrow is date day with my wife and it's gonna be a mountaintop experience. In fact, tomorrow's her birthday and I can't wait and I'm just so excited. We're gonna spend the day together. It's gonna be so incredible. But sometimes I can be a challenge to her and she can be a challenge to me. It's just the nature of marriage. Don't look at me as if I've got three heads. It's just the reality of life. Sometimes there are difficulties and challenges, but every decision we make, we are building the legacy of faith. And I want you to see this. We're building it one battle at a time. He defeated Jericho. Then he defeated Ai. Then he defeated Jerusalem. Then he defeated Jarmuth. Then he defeated Eglon. Then he defeated Gedor. And every single one, it says, and then he defeated this one. And then he defeated this one. And then he defeated this one. Because life is that way. You see, with every step we make, our endurance through the trial, our endurance through the process is what is building our legacy. Listen, I'll explain it like this. Today we were out in the park and we were playing around and we were playing volleyball. And my kids were playing with me and we're bumping. We're trying to get to 100 and we got to like 7, okay? So we're going. And finally, I'm like, all right, you guys, let's get serious. And they go, Dad, we are being serious. I go, we've only done 8. So we've got to get more serious than this. You know, my daughter, she's just kind of putting her, I go, you got to move your feet. My son goes, I can't play volleyball. And I looked at him and I said this. I go, son, you're right. Nobody can play volleyball. You can't just walk up to a volleyball and go, okay, here I am, and I'm going to be an excellent athlete. No, it's the person who practices day after day after day after day. That's the person that can play volleyball. So I want you to stay here, and we're going to continue to bump, and we're going to at least get to 20. And you know what? Within 30 minutes, he's playing great, and he's practicing, and now he's a volleyball player in his mind. Why? Because he didn't give up, and he didn't quit. Last weekend when I was home with my kids, and my kids now have kids, and he was looking at his son, and he looked at his 5-year-old son, and he said, Josiah, let me tell you something. Hard work will beat talent any day of the week. And if you keep trying, son, you are going to be the best football player. You are going to be the best player on that field. You are going to run faster. And you may not run fast now, but let me tell you something. Your hard work is going to be the thing that makes you the best. That's a legacy. That's what Joshua does. He doesn't give up at Jericho. He doesn't give up at Ai. And even though it's a challenge, even though it's a desert, even though there's a seaside breeze or it's the arid, hot air of the desert, he chooses not to give up. Joshua is building his legacy of endurance because endurance is the character that we need in order to make it through life. That builds a successful legacy. Someone who doesn't quit. Someone who doesn't give up. I've given up. I trained for the Olympics in 1988. I know it makes me old. I was a swimmer. And I'll never forget, something happened, and I won't go into the whole story, but I wasn't swimming for the American team. I was a Bahamian. I am a Bahamian. I was swimming for the Bahamian team, and I made the team and got cut from the team because of some politics that were going on, and so I decided that I was going to try out for senior nationals. Well, senior nationals, I get a time trial, and I get up on the block, and I'm getting ready for my event, and I swim the event. I get to the end of the event. I touch the bar. I look up, and I'm shy 4/10 of a second of making the time. My coach tells me, get back up on the block again. This time, I don't want you to breathe. You don't want me to breathe? No, it takes too much time. Maybe you can find your 1/10 of a second. So I get back up on the block and I touch again. 4/10 of a second off. He says, I want you to get back up again. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this time. And I get back up there and I'm ready to go. I'm barking like a dog and I'm ready to do it. I touch the block. 4/10 of a second. I get out of the pool. Actually, I don't get out of the pool. My coach grabs him by the ears, basically the head, and pulls me out. He dries my hair. He holds my head like this, and he shaves my head right on the pool deck. And he goes, "Now, get up, Baldy, and give me the time." I get up, and I'm as bald as you can believe. Imagine this big head with no hair on it. And I get up there, and I'm like, "All right, here I go." And I don't have any hair, and I'm going to do it this time. And I swim my race, and I touch, and I look up, and I'm for sure I've got it. And I'm 0.4 seconds off. That day, I walked off the pool deck, and I never walked back on again. I quit. And I learned a valuable lesson. Never quit again. Never quit again. Because it took me a long time to recover from quitting. Because there's something that doesn't feel right about quitting. Because it's not a good legacy to have. You don't want to tell your children, "Oh yeah, I quit." In fact, when I would try to go back, I never got good as I was again. You see, God wants us to endure. That's the impact that we're to have. Listen, it's the final, it's the third, not just a matter of endurance. It's the implications of wisdom in the legacy that we are making. The implications of wisdom. I want to help you understand. Listen, do you know that we make 5,000 decisions a day? 5,000 decisions a day. It's estimated that we make 5,000 decisions a day. Now, let me explain. 5,000 decisions a day, what do I eat? What do I wear? Some of you should consider it a little bit more than what you do, okay? What do I look like when I go outside? What do I dress? How do I act? What do I say? What don't I say? How do I pass this test? How do I remember all this information? Am I going to look at my friends? Am I not going to look at my friends? What am I going to post on Facebook? What am I not going to post on Facebook? What kind of pictures, if I look at your page, will I look and go, "Wow, that's their legacy"? Or will I go, "Wow, that's their legacy"? I mean, I'm making decisions all of the time. What do your decisions look like? Well, the implications of wisdom, listen, how do I know how to make all these decisions? Where am I getting my knowledge from in making these decisions? I mean, why do I make good decisions and why do I make bad decisions? There's a boy yesterday that made a decision to show up at my house for a Valentine's for one of my daughters. That was a bad decision on his part. To show up at Chet Lowe's house to give the daughter a me? Let me tell you something. You know what he did? He had his mom get permission for it first. I like that. You see, he showed up, "Hello, Mr. Lowe." I like that. He had a flower. He had chocolates. My daughter was all blushy. It was just, we videoed it. It was so cool. Couldn't believe it. I'm watching this kid. Now, let me tell you what I did to him before. He got some knowledge. You see, he had asked my daughter to go on a little formal thing before. So I met him out here, and I said, "You're not going unless I meet him." Well, he walked right up to me and he goes, "Hello, Mr. Lowe." And I said, "Well, hello there." And he says to me, "I'd like to take," and I grabbed his hand and I pulled it forward like this. And I said to him, "You want to do what?" He goes, "I want to take your daughter to the formal. And could I please go?" No, you can't. And how dare you ask my daughter before you asked me? I can't believe it. And he starts to, I thought he was going to cry. My daughter and my other daughter and my son are looking like, "Dad, back off. Like, it's okay." Then all of a sudden, I bust out laughing. He takes off his jacket. Oh, I'm sweating. I can't believe that you did that to me. And I looked at him and go, "Are you afraid?" And he goes, "Yes." And I go, "Go tell your friends." Listen, he gained knowledge on how to approach Mr. Lowe. And when he came to the house, listen carefully. He was respectful and honoring and asked for permission because he gained knowledge to make a wise decision. Can I tell you something? So did Joshua. Joshua learned the word from Moses. And when he learned the word from Moses, he was able to apply the word to his life and give the land to the people. He made a wise decision in dispersing the land. Joshua could have kept all the land for himself. Joshua could have been just like the kings of old and conquer and divide and be king, but not Joshua, because God said, divide the land. God said, Joshua, I have a land for you and a land for the tribes of Israel. And because Joshua heard the word, he gained the knowledge and was able to act in wisdom, and that wisdom built him a legacy. What decisions are you making? Where are you getting your knowledge? I pray it's from the word. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we ask that as we build our legacy, that it would be one of faith, endurance, and wisdom. Give us the strength, Lord, to hear your word tonight and to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a question. What's your legacy? Now, you got to stop and think for a moment, right now. So they're reading the story of your life. And I'm at my graveside, and I'm doing my graveside funeral, and now I'm looking at your tombstone. Now, I'm not prophesying anything. No, don't go that far, but I'm thinking about you. What do I think about? I mean, if I say the name Jezebel, we don't see any little Jezzies running around church. No one names their child Benedict, Arnold. It's just the reality. Listen, I want my kids to be thankful that their dad is Chet. I want my friends to go, yeah, that's my friend. And I want when people think about me, there lies a man of God. What about you? What kind of legacy do you have? Well, you might go, I made a bunch of bad decisions. Well, there's one good decision that you could make tonight. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can start a new legacy right now. And you could be like the blind man who once was blind, but his new legacy, now I can see. You see, to Jesus, it doesn't matter the bad decisions you made, the foolish, unwise things that you've done. He says, come, I want to start a new adventure with you. I want to build a legacy, one of faith and endurance. You don't have to quit anymore. One of wisdom. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come forward and start your new legacy with him. But to the Christian, I've got to ask you as well, listen, you need to make a step of faith. You've got to evaluate your own life for just a moment. And maybe you need to rededicate because your light isn't shining so brightly. And you've allowed this world, the cares of this world, to choke it out, civilian affairs just to tangle you, and you're not shining for Jesus, or you're shining for yourself. And maybe you need to take a step of faith and say, you know what? I got to change my legacy, and I got to be more like Jesus. I'm going to ask you as well, take that step of faith and say, Pastor, pray for me. Come forward and say, that's me. Humble yourself and watch a new legacy get written in your life. And as they sing this song, you come forward. And if you want to know Jesus for the first time, or you're a believer and say, it's time for me to rededicate my life. If you're listening on the radio, it's your time during this song to say, listen, Jesus, it's time. And as we sing this song, church, you be in prayer. Those of you that know the Spirit is speaking to you, you be the first to get up out of your seat. Come forward, and let's have some time with Jesus. Would you lead us in song?